This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. I write about the digital signage business on my blog, 16.9. I celebrate great and intriguing work. I explore and I explain new technology, and I filter the industry BS. This podcast gives listeners a chance to get beyond the press releases and trade show chatter and hear from some of the most successful, influential, and interesting people in this business. 16.9 is sponsored by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. In this episode, I'm speaking with Jennifer Davis, who is Chief Marketing Officer for Layard and also the VP of Marketing and Product Strategy for Planar, which is now owned by Layard. So she's one busy puppy these days. Jennifer grabbed us a meeting space on the exhibit floor at Infocom last month, and we spent a half hour talking about the LED display business and what it's been like transitioning from a small company based in gloriously weird Portland to being part of a giant LED display company based in Beijing. We finished off talking about the near absence of women in this business, particularly in senior roles, and what might change that. Thank you for doing this.
My pleasure.
Hopefully it stays quiet in here in the din of Infocom. You're probably kind of happy just to sit down, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So, like, what are you doing blessings over here? You're usually like in the booth and swarmed by 20 people.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to dedicate some time to you today.
That's very kind of you.
and getting out of the center of the circus that is a busy trade show booth, that's for sure.
And do you work for Planar or do you work for Layard, or how does that all break down
And the answer is yes.
Yes, okay.
So I actually have two logos on my business card right now. Prior to the acquisition, I was and still am the head of marketing and product strategy for Planar. And with the acquisition, Planar is now a part of Layard's international business, and I've taken on a role with that larger organization to manage to be the chief marketing officer and be the head of marketing for all of Layard's business outside of China.
Okay, but I'm sure you have to go to China, right?
Yeah, periodically. I have colleagues there, and we're trying to, you know, build a global brand, and so it requires a, you know, coordination and relationship building, and so, you know, I'm pleased to do that. It's helping me learn more about the larger company and our vision and overall company strategy so that I can make it relevant, you know, to our customers in the Americas and in EMEA, APAC, and Japan.
Right. So Planar's been around a long time.
Long time, 33 years, something like that.
How long?
33.
Really? Okay.
I mean, if you think about it, 33 years ago, the founders of Planar envisioned laptop computers and flat panel screens that you would hang on the wall 33 years ago. And, you know, how far we've come, right?
And it was a bit of a journey to get to that, because they were doing like big video cubes and things,
weren't
they?
Well, before that, embedded components. Planar was founded around a flat panel technology, electroluminescent displays, which are still used in industrial applications, but we've since as a company moved to other more relevant technologies for the markets that we sell into today.
And it's been a kind of a custom, known as a custom high-end premium whatever display
highly differentiated,
as opposed to, you know, yes, you can buy a Samsung or an LG panel, but it's a different animal. You're not competing in that direct field.
Yeah.
But it's I don't want to say poked along, but you know, you've kind of had this sort of steady business through the years, right? And like, how many people at Planar?
Prior to the acquisition, there was about maybe 250.
Okay.
And now in our international business, there's about 500 out of a global headcount of about 2,600.
Yeah, so you've gone from being kind of stable and predictable, and you know everybody, to this this monster.
Sure.
And how has that gone?
You know, it's still early days. We're just 6 months into this process, but it's gone really well. I joked the other day with the chairman and leader of our international business that I feel like we've all been learning to dance, and when you learn to dance with each other, you're going to
start
end up
with no touch dancing.
Yes, my good conservative background coming out. But also, it's the, you know, you end up stepping on some toes, and it's not that anybody intends to. You intend to, you know, get past that and learn, you know, the rhythm and listen, and just, you know, to push this analogy further, you have to be listening to the same music. You have to be recognizing the same beat. You have to be finding ways to communicate. All those things are absolutely important in M&A, just like they are in ballroom dancing. And so I feel like, you know, we've had fits and starts along the way, as any human enterprise will, But really, overall, the alignment of the strategy, the reason these organizations came together in the first place, right, and it made sense to talk strategically about combining, is what's playing out. Mm-hmm. Combining sales forces, expanding geographically, the two organizations were extremely complementary with, in the scheme of things, very little overlap.
Right.
In product, in placement of people around the globe, in jobs. I mean, like, the organizations are really like nesting together. So that's going well. And, you know, the leadership team has now been established and we're moving forward to...
Are you learning Mandarin or Cantonese?
You know, I wish I was a better student of this. I feel like I should have probably started when I was much younger, but...
You can say thank you?
I can say thank you and hello.
Is that Shenzhen or something?
Yeah. Xie xie.
Okay.
And actually, the thing is, the team that... the interface points that we have with, you know, our Chinese colleagues, the men and women of the Liard organization are innovative and bold and warm and welcoming. And, you know, again, yeah, the partnership is really working well. And their English is substantially better than my Chinese. So
better than your English?
Maybe, in some cases, probably so, better than my English.
And are they in Beijing? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, the headquarters are in Beijing.
Uh-huh.
We have factories in Shenzhen as
really?
Well. Yes.
Wow.
And we're actually, Liard is a publicly traded company on the Shenzhen Exchange.
Okay.
And then we have now combined offices in the United States, where we have factories and sales and service offices. In Europe, where we have one factory in France and another one coming online next year in Slovakia.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, all over Asia, we have offices as well, and in Brazil.
If there's factories in France and Slovakia and Brazil and so on, are they like consolidating all the parts, or are they actually manufacturing LEDs or whatever that
is? Yeah, you know, each one of our operations facilities has a slightly different skill set. The work that we do in China today is surface mount technology, placing LED pixels onto PCB boards, and then assembling modules out of those and some products for the domestic market. What we do in France and in the States today is do assembly of our LCD video walls, our large format LCD displays, and building final product out of these PCB, you know, key components that make up an LED video wall. So it's more assembly and final configuration to the customer.
Okay.
And then it also provides a place for customers in their domestic markets to do customer acceptance testing in a factory.
Oh, okay.
So we can actually, you know, build their wall, and, you know, which is required in some of the segments that we sell
into. And is Liard purely LED, or do they do LCD glass or anything like that?
You know, prior to the acquisition, the display business of Liard was all LED. And in fact, more specifically, the fastest growing part of that business was fine pitch LED, which was a category that Liard pioneered. They were the absolute
first
to market.
It didn't exist four years ago.
It didn't exist, and Liard was first.
Yeah.
And still to this day, years later, still holds the number one market share position globally in fine pitch LED. So it's a great position to be in, you know, to build that credibility as the market just continues to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But primarily, the display business was LED. Now, Liard, as a company, has a much more diverse business in China, and through a series of acquisitions and organic entrepreneurial kind of activity, has launched a lighting business for LED lighting, especially like urban lighting for smart cities. We have a business focused on cultural institutions and entertainment. We have basically media companies in China that actually create entertainment venues and outfit not just the AV, but provide services and a variety of other things in those markets. So the business in China is much more diverse and extends well beyond displays.
Right.
But now with the combination, we now have these, what had been Planar branded products, of course, you know, like Clarity Matrix, LCD video walls, and ultra-res 4K displays, and all the stuff that we've talked about at length in the past, are now actually part of the toolkit of the China-based sales team of Liard, and so it's going to be exciting to see what happens with that. And this is one of those other areas where Planer historically had done some, but very small business in China domestic market, and Liard has such a strong presence there, it was a natural to bring some of those products.
Yeah, I've not been to China, mainland China. I assume that trying to sell premium LCD display products into a country that's got such an unbelievable glut of different options out there, and it fairly or not thought to be price conscious, that would be a challenge.
Certainly, but it's also a challenge in other markets that we've sold into in the past. You know,
like everyone.
Well, taking a premium position is a bold move, and it's not for the faint of heart. You have to have a lot of courage of conviction about the value proposition of what you're selling to do in any market.
Yeah.
And China's no different in that regard. The dynamics of the market are very different. The number of domestic players that only play in the domestic Chinese market, the dynamics are very different.
Yeah.
In other markets, in Europe and in the U.S., we're competing against global brands with global distribution, and that's not always the case in domestic China. And so I'm sure my marketing team, my product management team will have a lot to learn about what our voice of the customer process will now include some more customers that will be giving us feedback of what, I don't know, where we should take this next. And I would expect over time that the product line to evolve, and just like the LED product line, which has been very successful in domestic China and successful outside of China, you know, the product lines, they overlap, but there's some different requirements.
Right.
So we want to be the kind of organization that's nimble enough and customer responsive enough to, you know, not develop in that way.
So Liard was the first into the market with fine pixel pitch.
Yes.
How did they end up doing that?
Well, part of it is just like strategic will. This idea that this LED technology that in what is referred to as standard pitches, 4 and 6 and 8 and 10 and 12 were so established in outdoor advertising and in for some of these other applications, the thought was always there, like, the benefits of seamless are not just for outdoor billboards or wrapping buildings in Times Square. They extend down. Seamless video walls is a value proposition that's really powerful. And so part of it was, how can we do it? And to, you know, so many of the companies that we compete with in the LED space just weren't looking at the indoor space at all, outside maybe sports arenas, something like that, long viewing geometries, and had a vision. I maybe in some ways I hadn't made the connection until right now, but you know, the founders of Planar sat around when there was like only very small CRT displays and said, you know, flat panels will win.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bold move to make, a statement to make in 1983. Well, in 1995 and then later into the 2000s, you know, the Liard management team said, you know, we think seamless will win. And set about a set of R&D activities and the like, key partnerships to make that happen, and ended up, again, originating a product that really opened up a product category. And now you walk around the Infocom and we're seeing this vision come to life. I mean, in our booth over in the central hall, we're showing a 31-foot video wall in 1.2-millimeter pitch, which means the distance between those center of the adjacent pixels is 1.2 millimeters.
And width of a hair.
Yeah, it's tiny. And then if that wasn't enough, we're showing a technology demonstrator of what's coming next. 0.9 is in the booth as well. And so this is becoming a viable alternative for all of the customers that would have considered video walls, from digital signage applications to corporate boardroom presentations to control rooms.
There's a bunch of costs involved in putting this podcast together, so I'm very grateful for the support this podcast will get from our new and sole sponsor, ScreenFeed. Here's founder and CEO, Jeremy Gavin.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. As content people, we love great content, and we think Dave's doing a great job with this 69 podcast, which is why we've offered to sponsor it. If you'd like to see the content that we create on a daily basis, head over to screenfeed.com and check it out. Let us know if we can help you in any project you're working on. And do me a favor, if you don't find what you're looking for, shoot me an email at jeremy@screenfeed.com. I'm always interested in new ways we can help. Now back to the podcast.
Is going from 1.2 to 0.9, is that mostly a marketing exercise, kind of like the old PC days where stuff had to be faster and so on? Because the difference between being 9 feet away and 12 feet away is arguably nominal.
Yes, yes, except if you're in that 3 feet zone. It only matters when it matters. Yep. Yeah, I think certainly customers often, and we experience this a lot, and actually have a bit of mixed feelings about it, customers will often think they need finer resolution than they actually do for their application.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, our lineup includes every pitch you might need, you know, from the ones that are viewed football field lengths away to the ones that, you know, you're up this close to. I'm holding my hand at, you know, 6 inches from my face. But I do think, and you know, to show off that effect, in the booth, we actually have, right next to the 0.9, we have a 1.2 and a 1.9 and a 2.5 demonstrator. So you can literally just start pacing back.
Yeah, because this is so new that people need to, there's a lot of education that's needed.
Absolutely, and in fact, one of the ways that the organization had been preparing, not knowing that we were going to be selling this technology, is for all the years that Planar and with our Runco home theater business, it's the same sort of geometry problem. The width of the screen, the resolution of the projector, the throw distance, it's a first row seating. It's the same geometry problem, but now, of course, in commercial applications where we're making the same trade-off. How big physically is the screen? How far back do you want to sit? It's a calculation.
And I suppose it's been happening with LCDs for a few years, with the whole idea of 720p versus 1080 versus 4K and so on. Like, where do you need to be for this to actually even appreciate it?
Absolutely. And the diversity of product offerings in LED, as opposed to tiled LCD, where the panels themselves are all 16 by 9 and they're all full HD resolution. There's just not that many variables to plug into that geometry problem. But in LED, you have so many options that, it absolutely is a customer education exercise, and getting people, everyone from the end clients that are, you know, demanding the best technology that they can afford to the consultants that are working with them, to even the media in the space like yourself that are playing a huge education role.
Stirring up shit.
Yeah, well, and then calming it down again, you know, letting people, you know, alerting people to the challenges and the differences between the technology, and then giving them tools.
Yeah.
To the manufacturers, you know, we're doing the same thing, and I feel like, you know, it's sort of a multi-front education process across the industry. You know, that it's really bringing on a whole new group of experts in the AV space to help people navigate.
So why has it exploded the way it seems to have? And maybe it's not exploding in terms of actual deals done and all that, but certainly an interest in we're sitting in the middle of Infocom, and there must be 150, 200 vendors out there with DirectView LED
showing them in some capacity.
Yes.
I would say there's a number of factors. One is that the market is absolutely growing. FutureSource, IHS, some of the others that are looking at this space, I know you've covered their research, you know, are reporting year over year growth in the hundreds of percent.
Yeah.
It reminds us a lot of the early days of some other market adoptions. I mean, we as a company participated and thrived in the S-curve of flat panel monitor adoption, in the S-curve of tiled LCD adoption against a landscape of rear projection cubes, and now, again, we're in the midst of an amazing adoption curve for this technology as well. But that's been made possible by technology advancements that have driven that pixel density down to where it's a viable alternative. You know, you could have put 4mm LED into a host of applications a decade ago, but that's not quite the right pitch. It's not quite, there's too many compromises.
Right.
So now you can get to that seamless without compromising everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exciting. And then the cost continues to get driven down.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing, you know, the price of fine pitch LED in the 3 and 2.5 range be what 4 and 6 were just 18 months ago or 2 years ago. Now we're seeing 4mm pitch, which is actually appropriate for many applications where signage is used, like in airports where, you know, long viewing distance, things hung from the ceiling, this kind of thing, now being within a few dollars of what a tiled LCD solution would have been.
Oh, really? Okay.
Now, it has compromises in resolution, but if the viewing distance is enough and you decide and you adjust your content appropriately, it has content strategies implications as well, you can have very successful implementations and achieve seamlessness.
And you can also play with shape.
Yes, absolutely. And the aspect ratios don't have to be 16:9.
Yeah.
You can build them taller or wider and facet them. And in fact, we here at the show launched a whole line of products aimed at the rental and staging market that we call carbon light products. And those actually have tension curves. You can flex the panels to create shapes and ribbons and various
things. Within reason.
Gentle
curves.
Gentle curves, as well as floors and meshes and ceilings and a bunch of other applications. So, the opportunities for creative use of video is just growing exponentially. And until we have pixel paint, where I can just bring in a bucket to my environment and just paint it on without any of the compromises with projection and without any of the compromises of all these other technologies, I know it's pretty darn close.
Or print it like wallpaper, which is probably going to come, right?
Oh, sure. I think there is no one in the display space on the manufacturing side, and we work with everyone and are very well connected in this space. No one is in this industry very long before they start looking at blank walls differently. The way a wolf looks at a sheep, maybe.
Yeah.
We're like, why is that wall blank?
Yeah.
Why? It could be so much more.
Mm-hmm.
This building could be working harder to create an experience or to communicate to customers. Not in a everything has to be Piccadilly Circus. It's not that kind of thing, but it's more like, how can we make our finishes and our surfaces in our spaces work harder and be more flexible? And so there isn't anybody in the display industry that isn't thinking along these lines. And if you attend the technical conferences like the Society for Information Displays or attend the technical tracks here, talk to any of the vendors that are innovating in this space, everybody, like the end vision is very similar, and that is you want the displays to be as flexible as people's imagination.
Right.
And every technology has a limitation right now, and we'll just keep checking them off.
I asked a couple people this. The display manufacturers are doing traditional LCD displays, quote unquote traditional, that have super duper narrow bezels, extremely narrow bezels, whatever monitor
whatever
they use.
The new adjective of the week.
They're very narrow.
Very narrow.
And I'm curious, do consumers really care? Are they absolutely demanding seamless, or are they kind of okay with this unless somebody tells them that there are seams there?
Yeah, the bezels are absolutely getting narrower, and this image-to-image gap. I mean, for instance, in our booth, we're showing a product we just announced this week, which is our extreme narrow bezel product. It's less than 2 millimeters. It's 1.6 bezel to bezel, tiny. But yet, it's not invisible. It's still a black line.
Right.
It's a small black line, smaller than it's ever been, a fraction of where we started a few years ago. But it's still a black line. And it's interesting, in a side-by-side comparison, which you can do in our booth and probably elsewhere on the floor, it really is, you see very clearly the trade-offs.
Mm-hmm.
We have two 8K walls in our booth. One is an LED 1.2, I mentioned our TWA series. It's 31 feet wide and, 19 feet tall. We have a 4x4 of our Matrix, tiled LCD product, also 8K resolution, and it's, a fraction of the physical size, a fraction of the cost, a fraction of the mounting depth, because it's front serviceable, but it has these narrow black lines.
Right.
And it's much higher resolution. So it really is about picking the right thing.
Yeah. What do you need to be done?
Yeah, and we can be, because we've been in this space for a long time, we can be agnostic to which the customer chooses. We have rear projection cubes, we have tiled LCD, and now we have the world's leading LED offering in the toolkit. And the customer can make the choice. And each customer is going to use a different criteria. And I feel like some of these decisions are not made on paper. They're made with a different kind of logic than it met the criteria. I've done the math formula and here's the winner. It's more like, the experience you have with the product,
emotional
the emotional response, and often the decision makers for some of these applications are absolutely relying on consultants to make sure they make smart decisions, but ultimately in a shootout or they're attending a trade show like this and they're like, I would like that, please, and they're pointing to the one that's seamless, and everything else seems like a compromise. Now, others are making different choices, and again, we applaud people making smart decisions.
Does the video wall business pretty much go away or become very much a specialty business for certain applications? I mean the LCD.
Oh, the LCD?
Extreme narrow bezel video wall business.
You know what? No one, including us, is predicting that it goes away, you know, anytime soon. It's a very big market. It's an extremely big market, and it would have to decline pretty dramatically.
Yeah, because the order of magnitude and price is like 5x for
and LED. Again, it depends on the pitch.
Right, but for the really crisp ones.
Yeah, absolutely. But in addition to that, the size of the market is, I don't know, tens of times bigger for that tiled LCD.
Yeah.
And so it's going to take a while. We anticipate that there is a crossover point.
Right.
There is and we've seen this before with other technologies. We can be dispassionate about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we are very much wanting to solve the non-trivial challenges of getting the performance to the next level and the next level and the next level with LED, because we really do see a path for providing a viable and cost-effective solution over time.
You've introduced some other very cool technologies, particularly transparent OLED.
Yes.
And in a normal circumstance, that would be what everybody was talking about at this kind of a show. Is it kind of like, hey, I'm here too?
It's so funny. We were joking yesterday that, you know, at a trade show, we'll often have a few things that are real showstoppers that attract people into the booth, and then we show them everything, and we have, you know, displays for every application. And transparent has been one of those. First, transparent LCD, and what we did before that, and now transparent OLED. And now it's just one of the things. So we put it on one of the corners of the booth, and it's attracting people from that side of the aisle. But yet this week we've been honored with two different technology awards for transparent display. So people still go nuts for that product, and rightly so. It's you know, we haven't been shipping it for, you know, not even 6 months yet. The applications are growing and the interest in that product is growing. So although it's
interest,
it's
now, are they buying it?
Oh, absolutely they're buying it. Yeah, absolutely they're buying
it. Retail mostly?
Yeah, retail, museum exhibits, quite a few people actually deploying it in trade show environments like this. You know, when you have a complex product that has a lot of features and benefits, but that they might not be obvious from the outside, you know, nothing better than all the rack-mounted components that are on the show floor. You're trying to say why my black box is different than your black box. Well, front that with transparent canvas, augmented reality kind of experience, and it becomes sort of a little bit of retail and a little bit of museum and a little bit of education.
So what's coming for Planar/Layard that you can actually talk about in terms of product? You're giving me a smug smirk, but I'm not telling you
there's
that.
There's so much I want to say, but remember how we talked earlier that you know, there's a great deal of trust, you know, when you meet with executives, that we don't overshare.
Yes.
So I'm trying to restrain myself. But what I will say is that what we are doing with LED will continue to push this technology forward and shock and awe customers. Yesterday, literally, we had people, I felt like we needed to put up safety cones, because we had people who were walking by the booth, saw the wall, turned their eyes toward it, and ran into people.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, there were pileups in front of the booth because people were having this reaction. And that will continue as that pitch gets finer and finer. We're actually showing a technology demonstrator of not only 0.9 in LED, but an 8K 65-inch LCD. And I literally need to put on reading glasses to see the pixel detail when it's a few inches from my face. And several people commented, oh, I didn't realize you were getting into light box technology. And I'm like, no, this isn't like a Duratran. This is, this isn't an analog solution. This is a digital display. Just watch. Oh, see, it changed. And you know, amazing fidelity. So you're going to see increasing resolution on the flat panel side. You're going to see a continuing broadening out of the sizes that are available in standalone flats. You're going to see a continued enhancements on touch interactivity, which has been a big part of our business. We haven't talked about it today, but it's a huge part of our business. We're demonstrating several touch solutions in the booth. LED and LCD video walls, both like improving on the key drivers of those businesses. LCD being bezel width, and some of the features to enhance the image processing related to, you know, that there's such high resolution, so really to harness that in an environment, you need to be able to take in multiple sources and manage those, and so we're doing a lot of work there. I have some great features in the product today. And then on the LED side, driving that pixel pitch further down and addressing the natural issues that come when putting that technology into space.
Yeah, and I saw Sony introduced its own technology, super fine LED, and it's done a different way. And there were a ton of people staring at that going, what's going on there? And they weren't quite sure if it was LED or what. Mm-hmm. And so as we see LED right now with this punch board of gazillions little LEDs, that's going to change as well, right? To a point where I think I've heard you can even, there's going to be like a printing process?
Well, there is some really exciting things going on in OLED and LED, again, in the scientific circles, in the physics and chemistry range of our industry that are going to drive innovation into the future. Now, most of that, we're not going to see at InfoComm next year. Most of that is longer development. Those of us who have been watching like the OLED development, it's been 2 years away from being 2 years away, and now it's actually proliferating. Yeah. And again, it will still be even a few years before that technology, which is mature enough and reliable enough for a lot of consumer applications.
Yeah.
Before it hits the commercial spaces where the requirements are so high. So that's what's coming. Lots of innovation, lots of leap forwards in the technologies that we know, and some new things being added to the mix.
So last question, I wanted to talk on slightly more personal level. You're a woman in a sea of men, particularly at an executive level in this business. How did more women get into this space? Because it's so crazily lopsided. I like a lot of tech industry, but still.
Well, it's very interesting that you say that because I've spent my entire career in technology. I've never known anything different. So I bet if I went into some other field, name one that may be more female dominated, I probably would think that was weird.
Yeah.
But I would like to see us tapping into a larger talent pool. Mm-hmm. And the diverse perspectives that come from that effort. I'd certainly like to see us do that. It is like any major development, whether it's a R&D invention or changing, the culture and practice of an industry, it's not a quick fix. It's a very purposeful progression. I actually attended the Women of InfoComm breakfast this morning, and it was great to see a record attendance at that, and just more and more, and it was interesting. They started with a show of hands of how many people, it was their first time to an event like that at InfoComm, and quite a few people raised their hand, and then she asked, how many people, this is your first InfoComm? And a I don't know, my guess, 20 to 25% of the people in the room, it was their first InfoComm. And I was like, yes, okay, now we're talking. Now what we're seeing is people who have been in the industry actually doing, I sat by a woman who is a CAD designer at a leading integrator, but it was her first InfoComm. So now we're seeing development opportunities for the talent that is in the businesses already and giving them exposure to the education tracks and giving them exposure to CTS certification and all the other, industry benefits, as well as just the exposure to the technology so that they can go back and be leaders in their organization. So I feel like that's a great step. Professional development of the people that are already in your business.
Yeah.
That's a great place to start. Second is look at your hiring practices and make sure that you're casting a wide enough net and that those onboarding processes and professional development may need to expand a little bit to take people who are earlier in their career or maybe have been on a different career path and ease them into AV, or as the convergence of AV and IT is more of a day-to-day activity, more people from the IT track coming in and contributing this AV space. And then the other thing is, I think it's just being a champion and an advocate for within our own organizations, but also just to the larger, the communities in which we serve. You know, I come in regularly to university classrooms in my town and talk to them about careers. Planar as an organization has been very involved in STEM education programs in the Portland community where our offices are, and we're continuing that and even expanding that since the acquisition, bringing Girls Inc. groups in and working with local organizations like Marathon Scholars and others to provide these opportunities. Again, it's a long play, but part of it is exposing talented, high potential girls, really, to what their career potential would be in technology, and making that as accessible and visible to them as careers and service professions have been. And so I'm excited about those things, but they're long term. You know, when you meet with a group of 10-year-olds, it's going to be a few years before they're attending InfoComm. And it's going to be a few years more before they're filing patents for the next display innovation that's going to rock the world. But I have no doubt we're going to do it. It's just a matter of getting there and bringing the whole industry with us in a way that's relevant for our increasingly diverse set of buyers.
Yes.
So that, I guess I can get off my soapbox now.
Good way to end. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and that you learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. 16.9 the blog and now the podcast are both properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.